Today's scripture reading is Psalm 121. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where will my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. He who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in, from this time on and forevermore. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come be with us and among us. Come as the fire and burn. Come as the wind to refresh and renew, convict, convert, and consecrate for our great good and for your greater glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. As some of you may know, I'm a bit of a sports junkie, and I have been craving something or anything new and fresh in the sports world. To satisfy this craving, I have been watching the documentary, The Last Dance, the story of Michael Jordan and the Chicago Bulls NBA basketball team of the 1990s. Michael Jordan is considered by many people to be the greatest basketball player of all time. He and the Bulls team would win 5 championships in 7 years. And then as they prepared to win their 6th championship in 8 years, and 3rd in a row in the 1997-1998 season, the owner and general manager of the Bulls decided that they were going to dismiss their coach, Phil Jackson, at the end of the season, even if the team went undefeated. Well, Michael Jordan ended up hitting the winning shot in the last game of the championship series against the Utah Jazz. The Bulls did win that 6th championship, and the team did break apart. Phil Jackson was dismissed, and Michael Jordan retired from the NBA for the 2nd time. In the documentary, as they discuss why the team management would break up such a successful and championship team, Phil Jackson is being interviewed and he says, "The only constant in life is change." Our sermon series for the month of May focuses on transitions and change. And what Phil Jackson does say is, of course, true. The only constant in life is change. Nothing lasts forever, not even successful championship NBA basketball teams. Life is hello, and life is goodbye. The book of Ecclesiastes says it this way: "For everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven." My favorite quote about change, though, comes from one of our church members, Bob Black, who served as our church treasurer for years. Bob used to say, "I have seen a lot of change in my life, and I have resisted all of it." How do you feel about change? Do you like it? Are you comfortable with it, or have you resisted it all of your life? Transitions happen. Change happens. It is the one constant in life as we journey through life. And we are dealing now with lots of change in our church and in our lives because of this pandemic, all of which is not easy. But even with these big changes caused by the virus, we also know that life continues to happen. Babies are being born. Death still happens. Graduations, aging, divorce, retirement, all of these things are also still occurring. We may not have the rituals and ceremonies to mark these events, but they are still part of our life. And in the United Methodist Church, we are subject to change every year with our pastors because our pastors always go where the bishop tells us to go. And we at Reveille will face a pastor transition this summer. Whether you like change or not, it is often difficult, and it raises all sorts of emotions for us. Tom Berlin once said that the longest time in the world is that time when something ends and before something else begins. And so we focus today on endings and beginnings, on transitions and change. And to help us to cope in the midst of change, we turn to the book of Psalms, to one of the most familiar and beloved Psalms in the Bible, Psalm 121. Psalm 121 is known as a psalm of ascent. And in this psalm, you may notice a lot of imagery involving journey, a foot moving, the sun and the moon looking to the hills. And it was most likely that this psalm was used by pilgrims seeking help and assurances from God as they made a journey from Jerusalem to celebrate various festivals. But what first hits me about this psalm is the word keep and keeper. These words appear 6 times in the psalm. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord will keep your life. The Lord will keep you from all evil. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. The word keep can also be translated as guard or protect. 2 weeks ago, our lead pastor preached about Jesus as the good shepherd, as the one who protects his sheep and goes out to search for those sheep that go astray. And last week, the Reverend Kelly Lane preached about God as a mother hen who spreads her wings around her children to protect them. And here again today, we see assurances of God as our guard and our protector in all of our going out and all of our coming in all of the transitions and change in our life. Perhaps, though, the most famous and well-known verses of this psalm are the first 2 verses, which say, "I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come?" My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. And to understand these verses, I want to share some insight from Mel Ely, who says that the psalmist is most likely referring to the Judean mountains, the tallest being about 3,000 feet, which makes for a pretty steep climb, but these are not the Himalayas by a long shot. He says, I think maybe the psalmist writes of looking to the hills in order to give due recognition to God's majesty, God's exalted essence, rather than to lament any remoteness of God from his people, as in Mount Everest or Mount Olympus. The reference to the hills and the verses that follow it convey that we have the capacity to and should see God as exalted and majestic, but also nearby and ever present. So what we have in this psalm is a betrayal of God as our helper, ever present, our protector, and the guardian of our journeys. When I think about that word guardian, I think about my dog who plays the role of guardian in our house. He used to sit on the steps, on the top step of our back deck at night and look out over into our backyard, almost like Batman sitting atop the rooftops looking out over Gotham City. And he did chase away the raccoons and the possums that used to inhabit our backyard. And now he likes to sit and look out the front window, and he will bark at anyone and anything that passes in front of our house. And if someone walks up the front driveway, then he will really bark, and the hair will stand up on the back of his neck, and it is almost like he is about to jump through our front window. But our dog likes to sleep a lot, and he takes a lot of naps. And there is much that he does not see and he does not notice. In contrast to our dog, the psalmist today reminds us that God's eyes are never closed. The Lord watches. He never sleeps nor slumbers. The Lord is continually on the job as our protector, the guardian of our way, ever faithful and ever present. Have you ever experienced God in your life as a guardian, a protector, a helper? When Adam and Eve eat the apple and are evicted from the Garden of Eden, it is God who stays with them, making clothes for them to help them in their new life outside of paradise. When the Israelites are ready to leave the wilderness and enter into the promised land, when Joshua takes over as leader of the Israelite people after Moses has died, God says to Joshua, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be dismayed or fearful, for I, the Lord God, will be with you wherever you go." When the Israelites had gathered at a place called Mizpah, and the Philistines were also gathered around them ready to attack, the prophet Samuel takes a lamb and offers a burnt offering to the Lord and continues to cry out to the Lord for Israel. And the Philistines are defeated in the battle. And Samuel says, "The Lord has saved us." And in the Gospel of John, when Jesus is preparing for his death, he gathers with his disciples and he prays for them. And then after his resurrection, but before he leaves again to ascend to be with the Father, the Lord Jesus comes to the disciples and he breathes on them and gives them the Holy Spirit and gives them his peace. One of my favorite stories about my mother happened after she had given birth to my younger brother, my parents' fifth child. And my mom was now raising five children, all within 8 years of each other. And she had three boys, all under the age of three. And one morning she sat in her bedroom, wondering how she would manage and survive and endure the task that was in front of her. Now, we do not have mountains around our house, but my mom was clearly looking to the hills for help. And it was then that a ray of sunshine appeared through her window. And for my mom, that ray of sunshine was the answer to her prayer, a sign of hope, of help, an assurance that things would be okay no matter what would happen. Barbara Brown Taylor tells the story of a teacher who was fired just 6 months short of his retirement after 25 years of service. It was, she says, a nasty piece of work by his supervisors. They wanted to punish him for challenging them and make him an example for anyone else who was thinking about doing the same thing. They called it early retirement and gave him a party that he suffered through. "I have been to my own funeral," he said weeks later. "I lost my students, my program, my livelihood, my pride. But you know what? There really is life after death. I am doing things now I always wanted to do, but never had the time. I have found energy that I had thought I had lost forever. I am spending more time with my wife." Getting crucified, he said, turned out much better than he thought. Sometimes change leads us to Good Friday, and then it leads us to Easter Sunday. Sometimes change is surprising. Sometimes change is planned, and sometimes change is necessary. There are times when we do have to prune the bushes and cut out the dead branches so that new life and new growth can occur. There is a lot of change and transition in our lives these days. Change is the one constant in life. For everything, there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. There's a time to be born into this world and a time to go out of this world into life everlasting. There's a time to go out from school and a time to come into another school or the real world. There's a time to mourn and a time to dance. There's a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. There's a time for pastors to go out from one appointment and a time for pastors to come in to a new appointment. There is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. But who knows what changes and transitions await our lives and our church in the days, in the weeks, in the months to come. Things still seem to be unpredictable these days. And perhaps all that we can do is to be courageous and to be brave, like Joshua. Or perhaps we can just stay patient in our struggles, to put our hope that God can redeem any circumstances, like the teacher who was fired. Or perhaps we just can continue to cry out to the Lord for ourselves and for others, like the prophet Samuel. Or perhaps we just need to breathe. To breathe in the Holy Spirit, to breathe in the peace of Christ, like the disciples did. But most of all, through all of the changes and transitions, let us trust and believe that through it all, the Lord is our helper, our protector, our guardian. The Lord will keep our going out and our coming in from this day forth and forevermore. For as Jesus says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the end and the beginning. Thanks be to God. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.